When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The watch-along thing, as I've mentioned, is not something I can actually do during Real Madrid games because I'm working. Go, go, go. Endrick! Endrick, go! Endrick, go! That's why he's the GOAT! That's why he's the GOAT! All right. Guys, let me keep this moving as much as possible with as little dead space, dead audio space. So, onside. See, look, so they put the graphic on just now. It shows that Endrick was onside. I thought when Vinny received the ball, he was offside. That's what I was reacting to. But I guess not. All right. So, we're going to go through some questions that came in through Discord. And we're going to start. I have this all set up. It's on the screen now. Question from Zach. Zach says, how's it going? I'm going next month to Madrid to watch El Clasico with my brother. Could you guys recommend fun and cool things to do for us? We're staying for 6 nights and 5 days and have 3 full days to do things. First time visiting, so I have zero idea what fun, adventurous things we can do. So, this is a loaded question. It comes in every now and then. The first thing I would recommend is to Google Eduardo Alvarez, managing Madrid, how to watch a game at the Bernabeu, and how to enjoy a match at the Santiago Bernabeu. It comes in two parts, as a part one and part two. It's a double article that Eduardo wrote on managingmadrid.com, and it's basically an incredible guide if you've never been to the Bernabeu before, how to behave, where to go, what to do before the game, what time to show up, which bars to go to before the game, how to behave during the game, what time to be in your seat, how long to stay afterwards. It's incredible, like, guide. It should actually be published as a bestseller, as this like mini pamphlet book of an idiot's guide to the Santiago Bernabeu as a Real Madrid fan. It's incredible. So Eduardo Alvarez, he is also, you know, formerly of the managing Madrid staff, occasional guest on the podcast, well-beloved. He's been a socio for 30 years at least, has had the same seat in the Bernabeu. And for that entire time span, he's a socio. And he knows a thing or two about attending a game at the Bernabeu. So he put out this brilliant guide. So if you Google Eduardo Alvarez, managing Madrid, how to enjoy a game at the Santiago Bernabeu, you'll find that article, and it comes in two parts. Go read that. That's your first assignment, Zach. The second thing is you have to go to, so you said you have 6 nights, 5 days, 3 full days to do things. Get your walking shoes on and walk as much as you can. It's a very walkable city, and worst comes to worst, you want to take the metro. It's one of the best metro systems I've ever seen in any city. It's very easy to get around, and it's very easy to navigate. So what you want to do is essentially you want to do the whole thing where you walk around Seoul, go to Chocolateria San Ginés, which is the oldest churreria in Madrid, get your churros there, walk it off by walking around the city, and you can literally walk from Seoul to Retiro Park. And that whole walk is just a beautiful thing. And late April, it should be beautiful out. You'll pass Gran Vía, you'll pass Cibeles on that walk, and then you'll go to Retiro, which is, you can just have a lot of fun in Retiro by walking around, going on a boat ride. Very walkable park, very beautiful. Do that. Go to this place called Templo de Debod, which is this cool place that gives you a great view of the city and the royal palace. And it's a gift that the Egyptians gave to Madrid. I'm not entirely sure what the cultural and historical significance of it is, but it's this cool thing you can see. It's kind of like this pyramid temple thing, a nice park. And from there, you can actually go to the royal palace and just do that in one day, basically. So that's a second day I think you can do. And from there, I would actually get out of the city center if I were you. There's a lot of cool places close to the Bernabeu. There's this area called Chamberí, which has some very good restaurants that turn into really nice nightclubs after, like, late night dinner, kind of nightclub transition places. Parasuco, Perachica, Pantera, like, these are all really good places to go eat at late at night. And stay away from the tourist traps when it comes to food. There's this place called Siete Montaditos. It's kind of like a franchise of tapas, and it's not great. You want to really try to stay away from anything that is chain, any chain in Madrid. Stick to the authentic local places, and I'm seeing the replay now. So Endrick, or Vinny was onside, according to those lines that were drawn. And of course, Endrick was onside when Vinicius passed him the ball, so that goal stands. At the time, I was like, that looks offside, but here we go. Endrick on the left wing. Try to move, but it didn't work out. Good counter pressure, fouls the opponent, and England have a free kick. I didn't watch this game, so I don't know up until the point Endrick came in who was dominating, who was not. So I don't know. I don't even know how Jude did. I don't know how Vinny did, apart from that assist or that play that leads to Endrick's goal. I'm not sure how Rodrigo did. Yeah, why don't I switch to Germany, France really quick. It's halftime. Okay, so I don't need to worry about that right now. All right, cool. I just realized that this question is covering my face on YouTube, so you haven't seen anything. Okay, so next question is from, actually, I wanted to save that one. Let's go to this one from Dalton. Dalton says, my question is, I just got a Footballia account and have been watching old games before I was a Madrid fan. For example, our three Champions League wins in the late 90s, early 2000s. Right now, I am rewatching games from the early 2010s. Are there any games that stand out that would be a good watch that aren't any of the obvious ones? I'm even open to other teams or World Cup games. Watching old soccer games is my cardio hack if you are trying to cut for the summer. Thanks for everything you guys do. Great question. I'm a huge believer that Madridistas should go back and learn about the team's history and learn as much as they possibly can. And this is part of the reason why I'm writing this book about Real Madrid's history. It will be the most complete book about Real Madrid ever written. Endrick just got manhandled, just thrown to the ground, no foul. Good hold-up play, though. Strong. I firmly believe this is an important endeavor that each Madridista should take. Any new Madridista should do this, even if you've been a Madridista for, nearly 40 years like I have. I also have the responsibility to do this, to go and catch up on things that were before my time. And, you know, I spoke to Uli Stelike, a Real Madrid legend, I think over the summer, and he was saying that this is something that every Real Madrid player should also take on too. When they're entering the club as a player, they should be very cognizant of the team's history and learn about it and immerse themselves in it and learn about the legends, learn about the culture, the history. So I'm very passionate about this, and this is why I love the question, Dalton. Luckily for you, I did not have to prepare a list because I kind of have a list prepared already. So I'm going to go through it for you, okay? And so you're going to have to take some notes as I go. These matches, it's not the complete list of matches. It's just a starting point that I want you to go through. And it will range through various decades and various eras. The first one I have on my list, it's not really something that would immediately come to anyone's mind. It's a completely random game. The reason I include it specifically is because it's nostalgic to me. You know what? I may make this easier by just sharing my screen and going through it so that you guys can follow along if you want. Here's a doc I have. You guys can see how much of a nerd I am. So here are some historical Real Madrid matches and the notes I've taken. Real Madrid versus Lazio 2000-2001 season, the Champions League group stages. This one is random, but I want you to watch this because there was a time where Real Madrid were really fun to watch in that era where we had, and this is what you see here is Lazio's 11 that day. This is obviously the glory days of Lazio. Salas and Crespo up top in a 4-4-2. Nedved, Simeone, Verón, Castroman, Negro, Nesta, Couto, Pancaro. And they were a powerhouse back then. So Real Madrid, on the flip side, had a double pivot of Makélélé and Helguera, Luis Figo on the right. Who was on the left that day? It was McManaman, of course. So there was a time where we had McManaman on the left wing, Figo on the right wing. And it was epic to watch. Those two were just mesmerizing, tormenting defenses on both wings. And then you had Raul and Morientes up top. And it was really beautiful football. And if you watch this game, the reason I want you to watch this game is because I want you to see Luis Figo at his dribbling peak, where he would dribble past players at will. And he gave Pancaro an absolute hell of that game. So go watch that one. Really random, but it was fun. Real Madrid versus Real Zaragoza, 2006 Copa del Rey, second leg. Big remontada, go watch that. I'm going to go through these a little bit faster. Real Madrid versus Manchester United, 3-1, 2003 at the Bernabeu. Both of these legs, this is the first leg, obviously. Both of these legs were historic and two of the greatest legs in Champions League history. This night, you will see the greatness of Zinedine Zidane, the greatness of Raul, as they just... And the team collectively toyed with Manchester United that night. This one, Real Madrid versus Valencia 2008 Supercopa, also known as, I think this was the Ruben de la Red game, if I'm not mistaken, where he scores from long distance. But I can't remember for sure. I'm pretty sure. But if I get that part wrong, forgive me. But I have this in my list for a reason. Bayern Munich, 2004. This one is kind of random too. But you get to see another great Zidane game where he puts Bayern to bed with a 1-0 goal late in the second half. Real Madrid versus Barcelona, the Manita of 1995. Also key because this was a historical performance from Michael Laudrup and Ivan Zamorano, who scored a hat-trick in this game. Go watch that. And also, you see an incredible version of the Bernabeu. Brazil transition attack. Pass it to Endrick. Endrick, second goal, please. Oh, he missed it. Oh, that's the final whistle. Endrick nearly made it his second goal. That would have been epic. That was a great chance, man. Pickford comes up with the save. Brazil win, beat England 1-0. And Endrick falling to his knees. Probably emotional because he just had a great cameo for Brazil off the bench. Well, let me stop sharing my screen for 1 second here. Is Endrick in tears? Vinny and Jude embrace with Rodrigo after the game. That's nice. Yeah, Hendrick looks like he's pretty emotional after that one. What a day for him. Things you love to see, man. Things you love to see. All right, let's get back to this. Where were we? So, as we continue down the list, Real Madrid versus Valencia at the 2000 Champions League final. Really, every single Champions League final should be rewatched because those are the apex games, you know, the ones where everyone's watching. Real Madrid are put on the map. So I think I may have included all of the Champions League finals. And if not, just consider this your call to action to add those as well. The reason why I like the 2000 Champions League final is because you get to see the incredible work that Redondo does almost single-handedly in midfield. And I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about. This is Real Madrid's midfield in a 5-3-2. Redondo was the only central midfielder on the team. McManaman on one wing, and then you had three forwards, Raul and Alca Morientes up top. It's a crazy formation, which only gets balanced out because Helguera basically acts as a sweeper behind Redondo alongside Carranca and Ivan Campo. The 2000 Champions League final should be watched. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games now at your disposal, Dalton. And then Real Madrid's 3-2 win at Old Trafford when they go up 3-0, and that's the Redondo Taconazo, obviously historic. I put Real Madrid versus Barcelona there in the 2006-2007 season because you get to see kind of like a weird transition of eras. So you had a young Lionel Messi with a past peak Ronaldinho and a younger Xavi Iniesta who hadn't really quite hit their peak yet. On the flip side, you had a young Sergio Ramos playing right back and older Roberto Carlos playing left back, getting tormented by a young Lionel Messi. You had Van Nistelrooy up top, Raul scoring a goal in that game, Guti playing very well. The prehistoric Mahamudu Diarra Emerson double pivot, and then Robinho on the left wing, who had a great game, but you know, we don't really speak of him anymore because he's a terrible person. Next up, Juventus versus Real Madrid, 2003, second leg. This one is a heartbreaker, and I'm sorry for everyone that I included this in the list because we actually played pretty bad. Guti, Zidane, Figo, Hierro, Cambiaso, Flavio all had bad games. I included this one because Makélélé missed it, and this is kind of the premonition of, you can kind of see how badly the team looked without Makélélé in the team. I think he was suspended or injured in that game. And we just got dominated by a Juve side that I think was completely ahead of their time. Like if you airdropped Juve into this era, that Juve team, they would hold up tactically. They were very, very, very solid on both ends of the field. And it was also a painful one in part because I thought this was our best team in the Galactico era, and we should have been in the final against Milan that year. And you could kind of see how bad we were. Like the greatness when Makélélé was on the field versus how bad we were when he wasn't. So I included that in there for reasons that were not totally great. Real Madrid versus Barcelona in 1998-1999 season. So this was the two, this was, sorry, this was Quinta del Buitre versus Barca. And it's just a really fun team. You get to see Sanchez as a pseudo CM with some incredible vertical passing. Hugo Sanchez doing some great things and seeing kind of his link-up play. I know that Hugo Sanchez is known more for his finishing, but you got to see some good Hugo Sanchez link up with Emilio Butragueño in this game. And that's a fun one. Real Zaragoza versus Real Madrid in 1994-1995 season because of Raul's debut. Terrible finishing from Raul, but also you could kind of see the potential and why he's so good. Barcelona-Real Madrid 2-2 in the Camp Nou, the 1999-2000 season is also on the list. The reason why I included this is because, we often say the peak of like Clásico was Mourinho versus Pep, Cristiano versus Messi, and the amount of hostility and tension that existed at that time. This is pretty close. Hierro, Redondo, Raul, you had Luis Enrique, Guardiola, Rivaldo, Figo on the other side. There was a lot of bad blood at that time. And Nicolas Anelka also played in this game, and he didn't come alive until the end of the season. But this is the iconic Raul Shush game in the Camp Nou, the last minute goal, and also a ton of just high-flying, horrible challenges. And Savio, which is one of the more underrated players who I really enjoyed playing. Real Madrid versus Manchester United, 1967-1968 season in the European Cup. We had Amancio, Grosso, Velasquez, Gento, Piri, Zocco, Sanchez Sr. This was an incredible 3-3 game. An unbelievable atmosphere. And it's just an incredible game. And also George Best on the other side. I would highly recommend you go and watch that. Real Madrid versus Sevilla, the 2006-2007 league game at the Bernabeu. We rewatched this recently because Matt wanted us to rewatch this. This is a Matt nostalgia game. So we watched it. And it's a very good kind of auto game. I'd suggest go watching that. Real Madrid versus AC Milan, the 1988-1989 semifinal. First leg, in part because it wasn't as bad. Second leg, they destroyed us. They gave us a manita. But the first leg, you can kind of see Quinta del Buitre versus Sacchi's Milan, which is very fascinating. Real Madrid versus Juve, Champions League final 1998. Peja Mihatovic, the very emotional goal. He scored the game winner. You get to see Zidane on the other side. You get to see Hierro versus Del Piero when Hierro was at his peak. And a very good Redondo game as well. I'll give you three more. The second leg of the Real Madrid AC Milan 88-89 game, because it's historic. I know it was a bloodbath, but I would still go and watch it. Real Madrid versus Partizan Belgrade, European Cup final. Insane Amancio game. I would definitely go and watch that as well. And one more. This one is more random. Real Madrid versus Athletic Bilbao to the 2008-2009 season. You get to see a younger Marcelo coming up with Pepe Heinze as your center back, Salgado on his last legs, Gago, Schneider, Van der Vaart trio in midfield, Raul, Robin, Higuain. It's kind of just like this random place in time, which I thought was fascinating that I included in there. All over the place, these are starting points. What I did not mention, but as I said, every Champions League final is important, and there are way more, but I think you have enough on your plate already, Dalton. All right. What are we doing? We're going to go back to the France-Germany game. Is that still halftime? I think it is. Let me check the score of the Canada game. Canada, nil. Trinidad and Tobago, nil still. All right. I'm going to take one more question, and then I have a few more points I want to bring up. And we'll wrap it up after that. All right. This is from Ranta. This brings us into the Rodrigo discussion. Ranta says, ever since Rodrigo arrived at the club, he has been a streaky player that has the ability to show up in big moments but goes long stretches without much production. If you knew for certain that this is the player he is, and I think that's the most likely scenario, would you still keep him for the future or sell him now? and hope that Endrick or Guler can reach a higher level than him. Also, if you somehow could have replaced Rodrigo's minutes with Mbappe this season, do you think we would have dropped any points so far into the season, barring the first game against Atletico? All right, well, the last part of the question, I think it's pretty obvious that Mbappe is a greater player than Rodrigo. So it's safe to say if there were games there that, you know, we drew when we dropped points, and there have not been many this season, to be fair, I'm sure he would have been a huge help offensively to break lines and come up with individual brilliance and be more prolific in front of goal. So I think that part it's safe to say. On Rodrigo, like, look, I don't think I would sell him. Now, this question is a little bit different, in part because the question is not would I sell him, which I wouldn't. The question is, if you knew this is what Rodrigo was forever, would you sell him? It's a different question. We're assuming that this is just Rodrigo forever, a streaky player who will have hot and cold patches. I still wouldn't, in part because I think a while ago I compared him to Guti in some sense, in that he is good enough to be a starter for Real Madrid, but also is kind of the guy who is the fall guy. If you have all your superstars and your ducks in a row, he's the guy who probably comes off the bench. Guti was that for basically his entire career. He was a bench player, but anytime you needed him to start, whether it was because of injuries or whatever, he was more than good enough to start for Real Madrid. Like, he had plenty of seasons where he came off the bench, but he also had a season where, you know, he had to play striker for the majority of the season because we had injuries to Raul and Morientes, and he played just fine. Then we had the Capello year where he was the only creative guy in central midfield. So he started and was brilliant. He also, the 2009 season when you had Cristiano and everyone come over, Guti had so many brilliant games as a starter. But there were also so many seasons where he came off the bench. I feel like Rodrigo is going to be the Guti of this era, where he's not going to be starting every game. He's not going to be starting every season. But if you need him to, he's going to be reliable. I keep him. I still would keep him. I also think there's one thing that's important about him, and that's that he really wants to be here. He is a Madridista. He gets along with everyone in the locker room. He works really hard, you know. This conversation, like, to me, that's always important for a player. This is much different. Like, if you ask me, you know, if I knew, like, if let's say Hazard was as good as Rodrigo in his Real Madrid career, which he clearly was not even close. But we're coming up with a complete hypothetical because the question is hypothetical anyway. But let's say if Hazard was as good as Rodrigo, and you ask me, if you knew that Hazard, this is what he was, would you keep him for years? My answer would be no, because Hazard doesn't care the way Rodrigo does. He does not work as hard off the ball. He does not create space for others the way Rodrigo does. He does not press the way Rodrigo does. So the answer is no. But because it's Rodrigo, he is a Madridista. He has important immortal moments in our history. He's young. The answer to me is yes, I would keep him. That's where I stand on this. I don't know if there's anything necessarily for me to add on that particular discussion, but I wouldn't. The answer is no for me. All right. I don't have any questions left. Oh, Germany scored against France, it's 2-0. On my stream, I must have needed. Hold on, let me just put the Germany game on my YouTube for 1 second here. So let me bring up France versus Germany on my TV. I didn't know that second half had started. So Kai Havertz scores. Anyone know if we got a Toni Kroos assist, another one. Man, this zone can be so buggy. So I have it set up. I have the zone on my PlayStation. And sometimes it just lags. So anyways, we'll bring that up, France versus Germany. Germany is up 2-0 now. Is Kroos still on the field? Let me check. He is. No subs have been made for either team. Wow. In a friendly second half, that's not that common. Canada, Trinidad, still 0-0 as well. All right. I think I can get the hang of this watch along thing. I think when I initially started and I pressed go live, I totally underestimated how difficult it would be in terms of juggling two screens plus what I want to talk about. So I think I'll get better at it. Right. I have a couple things that I want to talk about. First of all, we'll go in backwards chronological order. The Legends game today, the Corazon Classic, huge fan. I've been watching this every year for as long as I can remember. I get hyped up for it, mostly for nostalgic reasons. Today, we had some great touches from Zizou, as we always do. Raul, as we always do. Figo. Seydorf was awesome today. I have a couple things to note here. And actually, I got to wrap it up sooner than I thought because I something just came up. So I'm going to wrap it here. There was a couple more things I wanted to talk about. I'll save it maybe for Monday when I talk to Lucas. Here's my notes in the Corazon Classic. Not that I took notes, but I have some mental things. This was actually the first year I kind of noticed that these guys are getting old. Like, I know they're getting old, but this was like, I mean, this is actually, by the way, the first Corazon Classic we've ever lost. So that tells you something. Our starting lineup was a 4-4-2, Roberto Carlos, Ivan Campo, Arbeloa, Carambel, Casillas and Nets, who was actually amazing. He had like at least one great save that I can remember. Seydorf, Solari, Zidane, Figo in midfield, Raul Morientes up top. They had at least one iconic link up between them today. But usually these guys just dominate. And this was the first time you could really tell like, oh shit, these guys are getting old. Roberto Carlos got injured within minutes. He came off the field for McManaman. Figo and Seydorf were the only two guys, apart from Arbeloa, who obviously is in the best shape of everyone in terms of youth and stuff. Figo and Seydorf were the only other two guys who actually could play the majority of the game. And I'm just watching Mbappe do some crazy dribbling. But I really felt like, oh shit, these guys are getting old. Zidane didn't even last until halftime. What I did think was cool was that in the second half, we had Baptista come on, Butragueño come on. I was blown away by Butragueño's touches. Like, the guy is so old, and the technical ability has not gone away one bit. Baptista came in, Alfonso came in. These guys just look older and older every year. Fernando Sanz, not the late great president. Pavon came in, Paco Buio came in, Amavisca. It was kind of actually cool to see Amavisca, Baptista, and Figo really try to, and Butragueño really try to like get the remontada going. It was this situation where they actually took it really seriously. It got like really intense in the second half. And part of me felt like I kind of wish. Is Germany going to score here? No. I kind of wish that they saved Zidane and Figo and Raul and these guys for the second half. Because, like, I understand why you have to start them. They're the superstars everyone wants to come. But I thought, like, it would have been cool if you replaced, you know, the Amaviscas, the Baptistas, and co. with Zidane and Figo at the end with Raul. And they had to bring the remontada into place. It would have been a little bit more fun. Anyways, what am I talking about? I'm sitting here analyzing Corazon Classic. But I like this for nostalgic reasons. I've also always been a fan of just seeing these guys play. Like, if it were up to me in a perfect utopian world, when these guys retire from professional football, they actually go into a different league of professional football. It's still professional, but, like, you know, we get to see Messi versus Cristiano, Real Madrid versus Barca in a different, like, almost retired league. With Zidane, with all these guys, with Puyol, with Casillas, it's just something that I always like am fascinated by, to see these guys continue to play and see what level they're at, mostly for nostalgic reasons, if anything else. So those are my notes from the Corazon Classic. Seydorf looked awesome. Figo and Seydorf were probably the two, apart from Arbeloa, who actually looked in shape and looked like they could actually play for a while. And obviously, you're not going to get everyone. Not everyone is attainable. Not all the Real Madrid legends were there, but, you know, it was entertaining. We passed the time this morning as we waited for the international matches to come later on. I'm going to wrap it up here. I did have a couple more things, but I'm going to stop it there because I have to go. We're currently at Germany 2, France 0. Endrick got his winning goal against England off the bench. Canada looks like they're laying an egg against Trinidad. They've been so disappointing since the World Cup. And it is Saturday. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Camavinga is about to come on along with Teo Hernandez as I wrap it up here. So good luck to Kama. And we will catch you on Monday with Lucas, I think. That will be only for members. Go to patreon.com/managingmadrid. If you're watching on YouTube, you can just hit join on YouTube memberships. And hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. I promise the next watch along will be a lot smoother as I get used to it. And lots of love. Peace out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.